In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yep, it's time to talk movies. Well, we could do that on our own, but it's so much more fun when we get a certified film expert and critic, Alan Adams of The Main Edge and Rotten Tomatoes, who joins us for Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Hello, Alan.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I mean, I missed you the last week.
And I missed you guys. Yeah. It's nice to be back.
Good to have you here. You had some time off as well.
I did.
Nice.
Yeah, no, the timing of everything worked out really, really nicely. So, my wife took a week from work, and we spent most of our time kicking around the house. We did get out of town a little bit. We took a trip over the border to St. Andrews in New Brunswick. We stayed a night at the Algonquin, which was the first stop on our honeymoon 7 years ago.
Jeez.
So, it was just a nice little blast from the past. We got a beautiful room, balcony opened out on the courtyard. Like, it was just a whole lovely thing. And, it was just nice to... you don't have to go far, but it's nice to go sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, was this a master stroke? Now, I know it's not your planning, but was it Sheridan who planned that she would also take some time off around the time of your anniversary?
Yeah. I mean, anything good in my life, it's almost fully Sheridan's responsibility. it all came together in such a wonderful way. And I was able to sort of get out in front of my own workload a little bit. Was able to, to really embrace the time off, myself. The press never sleeps, so it's kind of tough sometimes to really separate myself. But we managed to do a pretty good job of that. And it was really a welcome respite from all things workaday. I was back at the office. Sheridan was back at the office today, and it was just like, this is good. The batteries feel recharged.
I want to talk about a couple of movies that you've seen, but one you saw last week. We didn't get to talk about it because we were on vacation, but we had Will Jackson Harper from Midsummer on. Holy wow, that movie's intense.
Yeah, it's funny. We were listening to the interview on the way over here, and we discussed the fact that we passed like ships crossing in the night.
Yes.
I think we saw the same showing, but we didn't know either the other was there. My take on it, easily the weirdest wide release movie certainly of 2019, probably in recent memory, like just a really strange, I mean, brilliantly crafted. Avi Astor is a phenomenal filmmaker. The performances were outstanding. And man, it's crazy how sinister you can make stuff look when the sun never goes down. It was just like the brightness almost became its own sort of shadow in ways that was just really a real trip. And it's one of those movies where I'm not going to go into details because stuff gets crazy pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does.
And you need to not know the specifics. I think that's very important. Although one thing I will note, perhaps the certainly felt the most the most realistic rendition of a psilocybin trip that I've ever seen on the big screen. It was really just well made across the board. Mr. Harper was phenomenal, as were the rest of the cast. It was just an absolutely outstanding movie that I will probably never see again. I think once was enough, but I think once is important. Like it's a really I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about what you saw this weekend. Two films that I know very little about, except the buzz. I guess let's start with Crawl, because apparently there are some fans out there that were concerned even in advance, right, that Crawl was not going to be given a fair chance by critics.
Yes, there was the general consensus seemed to be that, us Ivory Tower folks weren't going to give Crawl a fair reading when we saw it. I'll be perfectly honest. I was pretty sure it was going to be a bad movie. Like everything I saw, the trailers, everything I knew about the concept, the fundamental silliness of the central plot, like all of that spelled like, mediocre at best, as far as I was concerned, like straight up like genre B-movie fare. You know, I put it this way. It's if there had been a third wide release this weekend, I probably wouldn't have even gone to see Crawl. Like, that's just, I mean, I'm just being honest about it. It would have almost certainly been the bronze medalist of the three, and I wouldn't have made it to see it. Rich, I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong.
Well, if only others could be that manly.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Crawl is a good movie, because it is not. It's schlock. It's pure, unadulterated schlock. But it is also just tremendously sincere, well-crafted schlock, if that makes sense. It is so joyfully, unabashedly itself that, like, committed to the bit to a degree that is just, like, it's really hard not to lean into it yourself because they're so clearly invested in what's happening. Like, you never for one second forget how ridiculous everything you're watching is, but the movie doesn't either, and so we're all in it together, and that really makes for a fun time. Again, not good, but definitely fun.
I'll take fun. It's summertime, right?
Right. So the basic plot, such as it is, you've got a young lady by the name of Haley. She's a college student, competitive swimmer at the University of Florida. This is important. She's on the team, but she's struggling, and she's wondering maybe she's losing her competitive fire or whatever. And then we receive word that there's a hurricane coming, and she gets a call from her older sister, who's like, "Hey, I've been trying to reach Dad, and I can't get in touch with him." So Haley takes it upon herself. She's like, "Well, I'll drive down there and go get him," like, into the teeth of a hurricane. Like, this is the kind of movie, the kind of decision making that we're talking about here. So she drives down, goes to her dad's condo. He's not there. She's like, "Aha, I know where he'll be." She goes to the house that they grew up in, and where her father and mother no longer live because they're divorced. And she sees his truck there. Rain's pouring down, winds, the whole thing. Like, it's really starting to get nasty. And so she goes in and she starts to try to find him, like, wanders through the house trying to find him. She's got the dog with her, the little dog named Sugar. I'll tell you one thing. This is just as a sort of an aside. It's because it's the first time I ever did this in the movie theater. But if you're someone of a certain frame of mind, does the dog die.com. You should go ahead and check that out. If there's a movie that involves animals and you want to know if something like that's going to happen, doesthedogdie.com will tell you if in fact the dog dies.
Oh.
The dog does not die.
Okay, good.
I don't even like call it a spoiler if you want to. I don't even care. Dog doesn't die. So she wanders through the house, can't find him. Finally, winds up down in the crawl space underneath the house, and that's where she finds her dad, played by Barry Pepper. Who is unconscious and bleeding from a number of wounds, including a gigantic bite on his shoulder. And that's when we discover there are giant alligators in the crawl space. And so there are, like, two spots down there where the pipes are arranged in such a way that the alligators can't get them. So they sort of hole up. But the water's rising. And, there's only a certain amount of time before they're going to drown. So they have to figure out a way to get by the vicious alligators and to safety. That's all you really need to know. Like, we spend a good amount of time in the crawl space with people swimming around trying not to get eaten by alligators, interspersed with other people outside the house getting eaten by alligators. that's the gist of it. Like, it's, again, it's so dumb. It's such a dumb movie, Rich, but it's also a good time. Like, I was skeptical, and Crawl won me over to the point where it was just like, this is disposable cinema at its best. Like, it's the sort of thing that feels like, you know, it should have been on a drive-in screen in 1974 or at the end of the budget aisle at a video store in 1983. Like, it's that kind of movie. But again, treated with real care and real respect for, you know, for what, for the, you know, for the process, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and the performers are going for it in ways that don't feel like there's none of that, you know, sort of remove that you get when people feel like they're too good for the material. Like they're going, like Barry Pepper is someone, like, I think Barry Pepper is a talented actor,
yeah,
but he makes these choices. Like he chooses to be in movies like this, and he must enjoy it. He certainly gives that impression when he's in them, because like he's going for it. He's bonkers. The young lady playing the lead, she's going for it. She's crazy bonkers. It's just a nutso movie, but one where you'll, if you're like me, like you might not want to enjoy yourself, but you'll probably end up doing so.
Even though you'll feel bad about
I mean, you're not gonna feel great about it afterwards, but you're just like, oh well, I'm more entertained. Maybe I'm not as highbrow and sophisticated as I thought I was.
All right, that's the skinny on Crawl. Tell us about Stuber.
Man, Stuber. That's one I really kind of thought, like, I thought this movie was going to be okay. I did. I like Kumail Nanjiani. I think he's very funny. I think, you know, Dave Bautista is never going to be The Rock, but, you know, if you keep him in his sort of, you know, aggressively naive, meat-headed sort of tough guy persona, he's pretty good. Like, he's fun to watch. And one of the first things that you'll notice about this movie when you watch it, probably on an airplane, is that the two of them are great together. Like, Kumail Nanjiani and Dave Bautista are great together. And that is probably the highlight of the movie. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of other highlights. The basic gist, such as it is, let's say, so you've got Bautista, he's playing an LAPD detective, and he and his partner have tracked down this notorious drug lord, Tejo is what they call him. He's this mysterious shadowy figure who basically runs the heroin trade in LA, and they finally tracked him down, and they're gonna take him down. But instead, his partner tragically dies, and the drug dealer gets away. Like, this is in the first, like, 3 minutes of the movie of a comedy.
Wow.
We watch this dude's partner bleed out. Like, that's, you know, I mean, hilarious, but... so we cut to 6 months later. He's, you know, on a desk at the precinct. His captain comes up, played by the unexpected appearance by Mira Sorvino.
Wow.
She's the captain of the precinct, and she tells him, you know what? You've had enough time. This case is getting kicked up to the feds, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, he's angry about it because, you know, he wants to get revenge for his fallen partner and whatnot. Side note, he also has terrible vision, and so he's scheduled laser eye surgery. This is also going to be important later.
Okay.
He goes, has dinner with his daughter, who's kind of estranged, kind of not. She's played by Natalie Morales. She's, you know, she's an artist having an art show that night, and she's like, you have to come. And he's like, yeah, I'll totally come. And she's like, you're not going to come. So she puts Uber on his phone because, you know, he's going to have the eye surgery, and so he's not going to be able to drive. Again, this is important. So he gets the eye surgery, and he's just getting started with his recuperation, and he gets the call. From one of his informants, Tejo's in town, and the big deal's going down tonight, and we have to, you know, if you're going to do it, you have to do it now. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to go, but he can't drive. And so how is he going to get to the various places that he needs to get to? Well, that's when Stu enters the picture. Stu is Kumail Nanjiani. He works in retail at a sporting goods store. And also drives for Uber nights and weekends to help, you know, add, you know, get some extra money, because he is an investor in a new spin gym being started by his best friend / secret love interest. So that's why he needs the money for Uber and all that. And so he gets the call, and wouldn't you know it, it's Dave Bautista waving a badge saying, you have to drive me all these places. So we could track down this terrible drug dealer. And, well, hijinks. They ensue.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's basically them crisscrossing LA and, you know, the, you know, butting heads and, you know, there are some horrifying gunfights and some hand-to-hand action sequences and some ridiculous jokes and silly, like, alpha versus beta male back and forth. And, yeah, and they wind up at the art show at one point. And, yeah, it's just a bunch of stuff driving around. All of it intended to, Dave Bautista, he's a tough guy, but maybe he needs to learn to open up a little bit. And Kumail Nanjiani, Stu, he needs to, he needs to maybe toughen up just a little bit, you know, and say what he really means and what he really feels and tell the people closest to him, where to go and how to do it and all that sort of thing. And so that's pretty much it.
Okay.
It's... Look, like I said, I love a good buddy comedy. Like, I do. And I like the chemistry between these two guys very much. Like, there's a really interesting dynamic there. You just wish it was in a more interesting movie.
Mm.
Like, I think the biggest issue I had with it is there's a real lack of consistency in terms of tone. Some of it's like, it's ostensibly a comedy, but again, we watch a cop bleed out like 3 minutes into the movie, and there are some pretty graphic gunfights that take place that are that have like moments of levity sort of forced into them, but you know, you're still watching people get shot in the head, you know what I mean? And like, that's like, you can do that, like you can make that sort of thing comic, but you probably need better screenwriters and a better director than what we had with Stuber. And Stuber, that's the nickname that Stu's boss gives him, because he drives Uber. His name is Stu. Stuber. Yeah, like that's actually pretty representative of the level of discourse that we're getting in this movie. Is that sort of pun? Like I said, Bautista and Nanjiani are great. The rest of the supporting cast, people are pretty game as far as that goes. Morales is nice. It's good to see Sorvino doing stuff. Betty Gilpin from Glow, she plays Becca, the sort of best friend / secret love, etc. It's a good cast, but yeah, the jokes are a little fewer and further between than you would expect from, you know, a comedy. I didn't have a terrible time. My wife, on the other hand, had a pretty terrible time.
I bet.
Which, you know, and I certainly don't blame her. Like, there's something frustrating about going to a comedy and not really laughing all that much. but ultimately, like, it's a shame because this movie, the success of this movie and movies like it, in the summertime is important, and it's a real bummer that this one's not better, because the reality is, if we keep getting movies like this that perform poorly at the box office and aren't necessarily of the, you know, the necessary quality, studios are just going to stop making them. They're going to stop releasing them in the summertime. And while I am a big proponent of, you know, superheroes and Vin Diesel and all the other sort of gigantic tentpole franchise business of the summertime, that's not all I want. You know, and right. It's just a shame that a movie like this isn't a little bit better. It doesn't need to be a lot better even, mm-hmm. but just a little bit better.
There's Stuber, the lowdown on that, as well as Crawl, Alan Adams of the Main Edge Movie Reviews every Monday on Pass the Popcorn. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.